Okay. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. We're gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on case number RP15-1022, the Alliance Pipeline tariff issue. And we're calling this case number, PU-15-788. Okay, so there was a draft letter that we discussed briefly at our discussion meeting this morning as part of the regularly scheduled commission meeting. Our plan was to each look at that draft and come back with changes, either provided to staff ahead of time, or if you didn't get to it, just present it here. So I guess I haven't myself just peeked at the one change that Jack just handed out to the sentence that was highlighted in yellow. So I want to look at that real quick. And then, it's just more specifically states. Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, so do my colleagues have any comments or suggestions to the letter or changes they'd like to request? I guess we'll just open it up for discussion. Commissioner Kalk?
Oh, yes, Madam Chair. Thank you for setting this up and putting it all together, and Jack and Alana for working it out. First off, I guess I'll just kind of walk through the draft Jack sent out yesterday. I thought was pretty good. I asked him to pare it down a little bit without taking any content out, just kind of pare it down because it seemed a bit verbose. And Jack did that, and I think he told me that it didn't take out any of our legal arguments. It just made it a little easier to read. So I appreciate that. And then I really like what he's come up with the second paragraph, kind of just taking it right out of the statute and code and everything. It really clarifies it.
The change to the first line of the second paragraph?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And then the only thing I would just like to throw out to my colleagues is just two comments, that the second paragraph, I think it's very good right up until you get to where it says, interest may realize significant impacts due to Alliance tariff filings and practices, period. I don't know from that point on that I feel comfortable adding that in there. I talked to Jack about it. He said it really doesn't take out much of the argument. It doesn't take out any of the legal argument, because the legal argument we set forth in the first practice, and I understand it adds more context, but I really don't like talking about economic development and those things. I think the why we're involved is pretty clear in the first paragraph. And then that's just a thought. I if you were adamant about keeping it, I don't know that I would not support it because of that, but I really would much rather support it with that out. And then the third paragraph I thought was really good, because the one, two, three, four sentence down to the right-hand side, it says, if accurate, that's really good, because we're not making – one of my frustrations with this whole thing is we don't have all the facts. We just don't know. There's not been a chance. So that lays out, if accurate, fine. Yeah, but it makes our argument, I think, pretty clear. And I think that the broader issue of, what this letter is really going to do in the FERC, I think what they'll do is they'll read this and they'll go, the North Dakota PSC is watching this. I think that's what they're going to take away. So I don't know that it's worth getting too wrapped around the axle about certain things, because I think at the end of the day that we're intervened, we're watching them, I think that's their takeaway. And then the last part of it, the second page, it starts out, I know that that Alliance has asked that we consider putting in some there that the North Dakota PSC does not object to any settlement reached. That one I'd like to talk about a little bit, because for me personally, I think that I don't object to any settlement reached, but I don't know that I would in the future. So I don't know if they've each talked to the two of you about that sentence. So I guess the first ones are things I'd like to see. The last one, the comment about adding it in, that we do not object to any settlement reached, I think it's hard to say that without not seeing what the settlement looks like.
Okay. I have some thoughts on that too, Ryan, but I'll see if Commissioner Christman wants to weigh in now.
Did you print these out?
I don't object to the first two things.
Yeah.
I apologize, Commissioner. I didn't know you sent
Okay. It's, I don't think we really need it. Here's Brian's suggestion of taking that into that second paragraph out. I can go either way on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to weigh in. These were the suggestions that I had recommended. Now, the little squiggly arrow, that was somehow or another the one that I got from Jack, reverted back to having those two words mixed up, but now I see it's corrected again. So
okay.
Disregard that. The sentence in red, go to the second to the last sentence in the third paragraph, starting with these allegations mm-hmm. and ending with PSE. I felt like it's a little putting our thumb on the scale that these allegations are supported and like that we've determined that they're right. And like Brian was saying, I don't know that we have a lot of good and useful evidence. I'd be fine with removing that. But then I talked to Jack and now I'm probably a little more comfortable that legally, you know, both sides do things to support that. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're finding that it has the most merit in it. So I guess I'm not so concerned about that, but I still would be fine removing that sentence. Here's my most important addition, though, is what on this would be this whole last paragraph, and we had it in here on previous versions, but it's long, but it's the comments filed with the North Dakota PSE by Badlands and authorized by FERC trial staff, and then mentions the things, basically that paragraph, what FERC had said, because to me, them being a more neutral party in this, I thought that was the most overwhelming evidence that we have, and I thought it ought to be included.
Well, just in, I think we all kind of remember what those were, and I guess the sentence that you're suggesting taking out basically references those comments. So I wouldn't want to take those out because I agreed, like you, that the comments offered by FERC trial staff actually provided more of a third-party review of this case and its merits, potential merits.
Yeah.
And so I think that is, you know, one of the reasons why I think it's appropriate for us to stay engaged and let them sort it out, let FERC sort it out and say this is important. There's enough question here that it ought to be, we want you to dig in and figure this out. So I would not take that sentence out.
And
but
after
I do
talking more with Jack about it, I'm comfortable with leaving it in too. I don't think it's putting our thumb on the scale as much as I felt it was when I first read it.
So. I think it was just an attempt to summarize this
yeah.
in a shortened way. And I also think that this statement, if accurate and if demonstrated with sufficient proof, show that we haven't decided that all those claims are true because we don't have the expertise to do that or the facts. So I guess I'm not opposed to adding all of that in there if you really want to add it, but I do think that that was the goal of the sentence. I'm assuming that's how I read it anyway when I saw the changes because I saw that sentence as a way to reference those comments. So, Jack, is there? Do you have thoughts one way or another on whether we should actually restate what the FERC included in?
I'm really fine either way, that, and I think you're accurate. That was the reason why I did try to summarize pretty much that whole paragraph.
Because I asked him to summarize it, so he broke it down into one paragraph. So I'm either way. I just sometimes I like to hit the high points.
But so you, yeah. I guess I'm fine with it either way.
I like it. Having it in because it's from a...
Okay.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
A neutral party.
Okay, so then I guess we'd have to figure out how to make that flow then, Jack.
We might end up taking that back out then.
Take that sentence out and just put it in there. That's fine.
Or you could just say these allegations are repeated by comments filed by, we're not repeated, but supported, maybe that is the right word, in comments filed by ND, you know, and then just pick up with that statement, and then at the end it with such facts as, if demonstrated with sufficient proof in these proceedings, may constitute a violation of that. So you could just make it two paragraphs, and instead of the sentence, you just kind of short put in that paragraph. I don't like the such facts up there, though, and then going back to the FERC. I don't think that's a conclusionary statement, that's such facts. So I think that should be at the end of that.
And then lastly, on dividing that first sentence in the last paragraph, I don't have a copy of that recommended language, but as I understood it, I didn't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Okay.
You mean the statement that the PSC does not object to any settlement reached? That statement?
Correct.
Okay.
If that's what... you know, what we're saying now is that our concerns are directed toward the tariff structure, Alliance's exclusive processing arrangement, and alleged discrimination in favor of Aux Sable, and do not extend to the broader rate issues pending in that docket. To divide that sentence into two, I hear that it's important to them. I don't really see the big distinction in it.
Well, it wasn't just dividing it. It was adding language to it that it was period.
It's more of an affirmative statement versus
the PSC does not object to any settlement or agreement reached to the broader rate issues pending. So it wasn't just a separate, it was an add-in.
I will ask for kind of the legal analysis of that, Jack, but my sense on this is that both sides are trying to get specific language in here for legal argument purposes. And I think that, you know, Badlands would probably say, take that out. You can't, we don't want anything referencing that at all. And then Alliance is saying it has to be this specific language. The way we have it, I think, is straight. It's like, these are our concerns, and they don't extend to the broader rate issues. And it's not, I don't know that I understand enough about the proposed Alliance language to understand what kind of, you know, ramifications that has long term on this whole deliberation at FERC.
Also, while we don't have current rate issues, that doesn't mean we won't in the future. Right now, those are our concerns, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have to try to focus on what we want to do and what we're trying to accomplish here. And to me, you know, I'm trying to tune out the specific requests from the companies because we're in this for, you know, a reason that we're outlining here that may have implications for both of them, but it's not their argument.
It's so hard not to have all the facts,
yeah.
Because when, like, we're weighing in on the Otter Tail settlement or the MDU settlement or the other one, I mean, we have access to all the facts and we pick a side.
Right.
This one we're kind of trying to not pick a side, but to say we're concerned because North Dakota, because it's very slippery. As at some point in time, we will probably pick a side.
Well, if depending on how FERC moves with this, I mean, I don't envision getting real involved because we don't have the resources to get to the bottom of it and determine. That's what we're asking FERC to do.
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts on that specifically, Jack or Alana?
I'm assuming it has more to do with litigation strategy. And that, with that being said, I'm assuming also severing portions off specific issues of the case by doing that. that doesn't change the fact that it isn't untruthful to say that we have no objections to the rate issues right now, because we have no objections currently to the rate issues.
Yeah, nobody's objected to those rate issues.
Not from the commission, at least.
Mm-hmm. And so the PSC concerns are directed towards this, you know, what we outline here, the tariff structure, the exclusive processing arrangement, and the discrimination, alleged discrimination in favor of its affiliate. So and don't extend right now to the broader rate issues.
Do you have to say that? By not saying it, you're saying the same thing. I mean, you could, any concerns are directed towards tariff structure, period.
Well, that softens it even more
to whose benefit, though? I
don't know. I think that, you know, do not extend to the broader rate issues pending in FERC. I mean, I know that Alliance is concerned about holding up the whole thing on the shippers with this issue, and I appreciate that. And that's why I think what we've got here is saying that's not what we're objecting to. That's not what our concerns are. I like how it's phrased. But at the same time, to go the next step and say it the way they're suggesting, what is it we support?
We do not object to any settlement reached.
And I haven't looked at the settlement reached closely enough to say that, nor have our attorneys.
Because it hasn't been reached.
Right.
Well, I just threw it out there.
I think
it's not a hill worth dying on for me at all. I think if we want to leave it the way it is, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to talk it through because it's hard to say don't object to something you haven't seen.
Yeah.
But I will say that we have dealt ourselves a hand in this thing, so I think that we are going to have to weigh in at some point in time, and we're going to have to dedicate staff time to follow through on this, because if when this settlement agreement will be reached for part of it or not part of it, it'll end up in front of the FERC somewhere, and they are going to want to know what we have to say.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue down this road, they're going to ask us to say things. So we can't just think that this will be the end of it. So if we're not willing to follow it all the way through, there might be something just to say step back now, to go completely the other way, too. I just think that this is not something that you can not engage in once we've started down this road too far. I guess we always had that choice, but that doesn't seem the way FERC will want to hear from us. And they'll ask us what we think as the facts get laid out, and we're going to have to follow through on this, and they'll want us to pick a side. Or say we agree with the settlement agreement that they all come to. And maybe that's the value of us staying in the middle here, is you can broker these two groups, just like I'm between SPP and Otter Tail and Central Power right now, trying to get them to shepherd something that doesn't revolt in a whole hearing in front of the FERC on those electricity issues.
Well, and hopefully in the meantime, FERC will have explored this and will have a lot more knowledge whether discrimination and, you know, the things that are being alleged here are actually occurring, or whether this is just a bunch of allegations that really don't have any merit, and FERC concludes that they're following everything they should be according to the tariff and the way a regulated pipeline is supposed to operate.
I don't know how it all works in the gas world at FERC, but my experience has been with they don't do so much investigation. They try to broker towards a settlement agreement that everybody gets to. And if not, they settle what they can. Then they bring the whole thing to a hearing. So they never really weigh in on what the truth is until they have to get to a hearing. It's a strange scenario. Alana, do you have any input on that? Or you haven't spent much time in front of FERC either, have you?
I guess one question that I have is, of course, there's a lot of settlement conferences and stuff, and I can't always be involved with all of those conferences because we have a lot going on. But if I'm involved and it comes up whether we would be okay with it being addressed in separate, like severed off and addressed in separate litigation, or whether we want this part of a full settlement with the full force of a rate case behind it. Would the commission prefer that I take a stance on that, or at this time, not?
I guess I would have to hear what the FERC is saying to, you know, I mean, would that just be the two parties saying, coming to FERC saying this would be the easiest way, let's do it this way, or I don't know enough about how these proceedings work to even weigh in. Would there be some discovery before they get to that point, or?
I'm not fully aware exactly how that would probably be handled, but I'm assuming if there isn't, and if this is the only issue left outstanding, a party may request to have this severed off and litigated separately and the rest of the rate settlement go through.
Yeah.
However, on the other hand, this could hold up the whole rate settlement if more parties prefer this to be resolved altogether, which would possibly force the whole thing into a whole rate case, which is extensive litigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've stated clearly here that what the concerns are, and they aren't the whole settlement. It's this particular issue. So okay. I guess it would be hard for me to say that they shouldn't be able to just settle the shippers and cut that and move forward. This is the issue that we have been told about and see and want FERC to try to get to the bottom of whether it is or isn't with their, consistent with their tariffs. I do hope, Commissioner Kalk, you have way more experience with FERC than I do, but their Badlands is saying some very specific things. Mm-hmm. And Alliance is, their argument is like, this is not even anything related to what we do. I mean, they're so extreme. The two sides are so far apart on this. It seems like if what Alliance is saying is true, then it wouldn't take a whole lot of FERC time to get to the bottom of that and say, no, I'm sorry, this is not the place for this argument. This is an argument between two companies. Or, on the other hand, no, this is part, this, what we see here is not appropriate, and it needs to be corrected. And then here's what we do to correct it. So I really hope they don't come to us and say, which do you think? Because we've already looked at it and said we can't tell what it is because we don't know the FERC rules.
Let me add more to Jack's burden to try and understand what it is that his commissioners want when it comes to a question to him monitoring this of whether this should be divided out. I'd almost have to speak in metaphors here a little bit, but if it's like dealing with federal legislation, if you have something important to you and your congressman or senator has been working on it and has it in some big giant omnibus bill in the federal government, would it be okay with me if I wanted that in there to go ahead and deal with the big omnibus bill elsewhere and pass it, and we'll get back to this? No, because they'll never get back to it. However, if we were talking about a bill in the state legislature where this doesn't really apply to that, we're going to separate it and we're going to deal with it, and you can trust those people down there, they will, I'd be fine with it. But I think some of that will depend on your conversations with FERC trial staff about what's going to happen if it's divided
out.
That's
a very good point.
I just don't know the answer to that.
Well,
good point.
I believe probably what FERC trial staff would tell me, or Badlands, is that if it is divided and separated out, there would be less incentive for Alliance to settle that issue and more incentive to litigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it probably strikes the right balance to leave it the way it is right now, that third paragraph, and let the FERC staff interpret that as they wish. If they interpret it that there's a settlement agreement, then we're not going to object to it, then they'll go forward with that. If they interpret it that this might cause it to go to a whole hearing, it lets the FERC staff decide how they read that.
And when they ask Jack where we stand?
I think you can go back and say we've got three commissioners that have, this is the statement that they agree on, and you have to make your decisions accordingly. I just think that that's, you can't speak for the commission. You can only, this is what this commission agrees on. And they need to, they get paid big bucks to do something. But that's where I said, if we, well, that's the truth, though. I mean, they, that's what they have to do.
And we're relying on them and their expertise.
Right. That's
make
the whole
some
point.
Decisions and bring a settlement or a suggestion to us for.
And then I would say, if there is a settlement then submitted that severs off the Badlands to something else, then we'll have something that we can look at.
Right.
And that's where, if then we look at this and go, wait a minute, then that's when the time one of us gets in a plane with Jack and goes out to the next settlement conference and says, we don't like this or we do like this or something. But I think we leave it generic enough they can interpret it. I mean, if they're listening into this work session, they can listen in. They could pull this back up. But, Jack, you can't. They can't put you in that position. So, well, you can interpret what you want. Three commissioners, this is what they've agreed upon. Make your own decisions. That's just a thought, but it seems.
I do think the commission probably could say if they had a preference for one thing or another, but if there is no direction in that, I won't take a stance at the FERC level then. I mean,
well, again, like Randy very effectively stated, what's, you know, the behind story to either one of those options? What's the practical implication of it? If they can get to a resolution separating it and actually get to a resolution, then that's a whole lot different than if you sever it off and then it just sits there. We want them to decide if this is appropriate or not, period. It's like, make a decision. And I guess that's as clear as I can.
No, that's pretty
good.
We don't have all the facts. That makes good sense.
Okay. So we have no preference on the procedural aspect of that, the severance and non-severance. And
we've just said that our concerns are directed toward tariff structure. We've said that, and they can interpret that as they want.
To me, the most important line in here is that we're encouraging the full development and determination of the facts by FERC.
Okay. All right. So I'm okay with the changes you suggested on the second paragraph. If you want to take that further statement out.
Yeah, basically from further till the end of it.
We've revised the third and fourth paragraph. So that'll, the third paragraph actually expanded it to include this language that quotes what the trial staff stated in their letter or comments. And then the rest is pretty much as it's been drafted.
Aside from FREC in the last paragraph that I didn't change.
Is there a FREC in there?
I thought I changed that, but I didn't.
Alon, have you ever seen anything like this that we're treading on right now?
No, I've seen similar things. We used to do a lot of work with gas rates when before the spinoff of gas from transportation. But it seems different, but it's really no different. It's a settlement between the parties, a substantive ALJ, and I think you're all, you know, understanding your position and the limits thereof from the conversation I heard here.
But as it goes back to the law, when the laws, which we talked about before in the other work session, when those were put into code, whatever you'd say, was our authority different then so we could actually do something? That was what I was trying to point out before, where there's code that is still there that now we can't really do anything with, that we should look at pulling back some of that code.
Well, I think like in rail, and that's been repealed. The stuff that would be over the line has been repealed. I think what you're reading there is pretty much the same thing you would rely on if you decided to take your $900,000 and bring a complaint against BN for rates on behalf of the grain elevators. Same kind of concept, except that you happen to have an appropriation for that.
Yeah.
And so I think here it's a resource thing. It truly, to me, it's a dilemma because we don't have expertise and we don't have resources to develop the expertise. But being told by the statute that you're supposed to pay attention to what an interstate commerce utility is doing and try to do something about it if you think it's unfair. I don't think that's changed any. I think your resources are different, and perhaps even the way you can do that processing might have changed and been tweaked at different levels of state and federal government. But same basic jurisdiction, I think.
That I'm tracking all the way through to like when our rail rates, I remember doing this up in Findlay, you know, those rates are published and they're very much easier to understand what rail rates are and what costs are, and where these rates are, they're protected.
The issues are murkier, yeah, perhaps, but, you know, I could envision a rail case where they'd also murky. So same concept, and I think that's when you get into the weeds, that's where these different opinions about whether you have jurisdiction or you don't is in those weeds.
So in a rail case, we'd have, if we were to pursue that more extensively, which, if we were to take the next step with this, we'd have to have some more extensive kind of fact gathering, I would think.
Right.
So do you go to the parties in the rail case and say you need to provide this information and have it be more of a formal complaint type of process? Or
I think it's formal complaint in rail because I don't know that they file. I mean, I don't know that their tariff process is as scrutinized as the tariff process that we do and FERC does for utilities, just because they've been so substantially deregulated.
Yeah.
So you can't, right at home here, somebody can litigate this kind of an issue right in front of you on a tariff filing if they want to. And at FERC, you can litigate this kind of issue right in front of FERC on a tariff filing, which is, it's still a contested case. It's not a formal complaint, but you can fight it out the same way. So as a party, you have discovery rights, as every other party does in front of us and FERC. So you'd be gathering your information in a case like this through discovery, through interrogatories and perhaps depositions, if you had unlimited resources, and including time.
If we get to the point that Commissioner Kulka is saying may come where FERC wants us, they expect us to get more involved, what's the process for that? I mean, what do we do? How do we do that?
Well, if it's a settlement, you'll have a settlement in front of you.
So you just analyze
it. So you just analyze it as much as you can, I mean, given whatever you want to devote to it. And if it's not a settlement, it goes to hearing, then you ask if you're going to do what staff does in a contested rate case. I mean, you do depositions. Are you going to go to the hearing? Are you going to show up? You know, it's really a bottomless pit for resources, but those are the same kinds of questions that we do on a simpler basis or a smaller basis here.
You know what might be helpful is that for you, Jack, when you talk to your FERC people you've been talking to, Patrick Cleary is the FERC guy for electricity. So Patrick was the guy that was up here a while ago when they talked about FERC stuff with electricity. In all these MISO meetings I go to and SPP meetings, Patrick is there. And he gives kind of like a FERC 101, what's going on. But I talked to him when I was down in wherever I was at, Oklahoma, this last week for an SPP meeting, and I said, Patrick, let's talk about gas stuff. He goes, I'm an electricity guy. See if you can find out who Patrick Cleary's counterpart is for gas for North Dakota and maybe get him or her up here at some point to give us the same FERC 101 for gas that Pat Cleary does for electricity.
It's not a bad idea.
Because whenever I have FERC questions, I always call Pat up, and he's very good about what he can talk about and can't talk about, but procedurally he's really good. And maybe they don't have somebody for gas, but you'd think they would. Thank you, Alana.
That's a good idea. Okay, those are good next steps. No, that's a good next step. We'll wrap this letter up, submit it, and then you can just keep us posted as to what you hear back from FERC in the next, and what you view as the next steps as you get. As this proceeds. Anything more? Randy, you good?
Yep.
Okay, that concludes the work session on case number, what is this case, Jack? Hold on. PU-15-788. Thank you.
Although I don't have a freck in my last paragraph.
Neither, Jack.
How do I have two of the exact documents, the exact same name?
I don't know, but...
Oh, yes, you do. It's written out. It's written out. It's a bedroom right
here. Oh, in the longhand.
Yes.
Because you're setting off that phrase.
Freck.
Okay. 5 minutes.
Did you send out a note on that?
Yes, Jared did.
Did I receive it?
I hope so. Okay.
When's another note? When is the Cooper's
okay.
Conference?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's that weekend. That's that weekend.
Okay.
Are we still on?
That's the weekend of
Yes.